There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip. It's the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position, not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's Hardy here with you on this Saturday morning where I have yet to see really what the day is going to be like. I saw yesterday that today was going to be the quote-unquote pick of the day in terms of weather here in the Boston area. So if you've got tee time today, if you're scheduled to play today, if something's going on with you, fantastic. Like I said, according to one of the forecasts I saw yesterday, today is supposed to be the pick of the day. I myself got a chance to play yesterday, and yesterday was pretty good for two reasons. Number one, I get it. Well, number one, the weather was good. I mean, it didn't rain. It was a little hot, and it was a little windy, which made for an interesting time on the golf course that I was at. That's really why it was so good, because yesterday I got a chance to play Worcester Country Club, which I had only played once before years ago with my friend Scott Hawley, who's been on this show before. He is a very, very, very good player who played lots of tournaments around here and did very well in things like the Mass Open and played on the Canadian Tour. And he and I played that course together probably 10 years ago in a constant rain. But you get a chance to play Worcester Country Club. That's one of those courses where you play regardless of what the weather is. You go play that day. So yesterday I had the opportunity to play with another friend of mine, Tony, who is a new member there, or is a probationary member. He's on double secret probation. At any rate, maybe he's not supposed to bring guests yet. I don't know. I might be screwing up his chances of full membership by even mentioning it. Anyway, Worcester Country Club, a Donald Ross classic, obviously in Worcester. And I had a feeling, maybe this is my own fault, I had a feeling going in that this course was going to eat my lunch. And I'm here to report that that course ate my lunch. And then crumpled up the brown paper bag and threw it back in my face when it was done with my lunch. I only had a stretch of four holes where I believe I played those four holes in one over par where I felt pretty good about my game. And not surprisingly, felt pretty good off the tee with driver for most of the day. And I say not surprisingly because I really like this the new driver that I have, or at least the new head I have, the Callaway Epic Flash. That thing, that just helps you ooze confidence on the tee box with the driver. And I told that story a few weeks ago, how my old Epic, which I was perfectly happy with, developed this rattle inside the club head, which ended up being the result of getting sand and bits of dirt and fertilizer, God knows what else, from sweeping the tee box on practice swings and a fair number of drop kick tee shots where, you know, it hit the ground just enough before making contact with the ball to where it broke the plate on the bottom of the club head, on the sole of the club. Callaway, I took it to the PGA Tour Superstore in Braintree. They looked at it, said, well, ask Callaway. Callaway said, yep, that's fine. Can't repair it, though, so just going to give you a brand new head on the end. So you keep the shaft grip, everything the same, because as I'm sure you know, the shafts can be what's really expensive in a golf club and getting a new weapon like a driver. But they replaced the head with the Epic Flash and kind of upgraded it to the new model. Oh, with the jailbreak technology and everything. It's fantastic. So I felt fine off the tee and hit some amazing drives yesterday for me. Old school, you know, like center cut fairways. The mower's going one direction down one half, back at you on the other half. You know, think, you know, U.S. Open style of fairway mowing there at Worcester Country Club. And I found myself on that center line a few times yesterday. Not that I could do anything with it, because I am here to report that the greens at Worcester Country Club, much more treacherous than I remember that one time I played it 10 years ago. Yeah, there's some classic Donald Ross elements to them, some false fronts, and long is dead on a lot of those greens. But on some of the others, just everywhere is dead. You leave yourself. There's one par three in particular that you can't hit it anywhere other than the center of the green. And if you do, you're put yourself down for a five. That's because you think you're going to have a decent chip or even a pitch back up toward the green from wherever you've left it, and it's just going to go off the other side. So just, yeah, put yourself down for a double and move on to the next hole. But what a fantastic golf course. And without, you know, getting all up in their business, I will just say this. The clubhouse at Worcester Country Club, and I only went into the men's locker room, but it's old school. It, you know, metal lockers, and I don't mean like high school metal lockers. I mean from way back in the day, the metal lockers all lined up, and couple of candlepin bowling lanes right there in the locker room. Yeah, it's just a cool, cool place. Reminded me of the men's locker room at Essex, where they are at least the one time I was in the Essex locker room. It was not all redone to 21st century standards. It purposely left the way it was, and it's cool. It's just cool the way it is, and I'm sure there are some members who want to change it and update things. But anyone who's holding out and anyone who says no, keep it the way it is, good for you, because it makes it special. So that was a great day. That was a good time, and it made me think about all of the great golf courses that I haven't played in and around New England. And I was up in Maine last week, and it was not a golfing trip. It was a family trip, and it was not the type of trip where we were going to play any golf, any of us in the family. But it got me to thinking, and then lo and behold, on Golf Magazine, I see a column posted just this week, 18 wicked good public golf courses in New England by Evan Rothman. So I perused that. We're going to get into that a little bit later, because I understand unless you're going to get an invite to a place like Worcester, you may not have a chance to play it. But there are plenty of public golf courses that you can play in and around New England, some fantastic ones. And I haven't played most of them. I mean, I've only played a couple few of these. So we'll go down the list here a little bit later on the show today. I also wanted to, before we get too far into the program today, talk about the really remarkable streak put together from a woman on the LPGA Tour. She's a top-ranked player. Jin Young Ko had a run of 114 consecutive holes in competition without a bogey. 114 holes without a bogey. It finally ended just 2 days ago, I believe, when she made a bogey after going 72 holes in the tournament before to win the CP Women's Open by 5 shots. That was last week. And then she had 4 straight pars before an eagle and 2 birdies at Columbia Edgewater. So she had a run of holes 2 tournaments ago. She went bogey free in the tournament that she won and had started bogey free through a number of holes before she finally missed a 3-foot par putt on the par 4 ninth. And that was the only bogey she made that day. She said afterwards, "I did it. It's done. Cool. But yeah, I'm good for a while," because she said all she was thinking about out there was, "Oh, not a bogey now. Not a bogey now." Because this is a remarkable streak. I mean, she's top-ranked player, so, and she's already won 4 times this year. 2 majors, and she hadn't made a bogey since the 3rd round of the British Open, okay? So think how long ago the Women's British Open was. She finished 3rd in that tournament. But the reason why this streak was so cool is because she passed Tiger Woods. If you want to mix the two tours, and his PGA Tour record of 110 bogey-free holes. And Tiger did that almost 20 years ago, back in 2000. And, of course, it's the longest known bogey-free run that's ever happened in LPGA Tour history. You know, a lot of these things weren't kept to this regard up until recently. But congratulations. That's a pretty cool streak for Jin Young Ko, 114 holes without a bogey. Speaking of Tiger Woods, he ended up getting surgery again. I don't know if you heard this news earlier in the week. You try saying it at 7:14 on a Saturday morning. Arthroscopic procedure on his left knee last week. So you hear surgery, Tiger Woods, you think, oh boy, here we go again. But apparently it was just something to do a little cleanup. Dr. Vern Cooley repaired some minor cartilage damage and poked around in there to see what was going on. I didn't realize that he had had so many knee procedures. We all know about the one after the 2008 U.S. Open, where he essentially had a fracture in his leg, not to mention the bad knee, and won that year in the playoff over Rocco Mediate. But going back before that, there were at least 3 other procedures all the way back to 25 years ago, 1994, when Tiger was still an amateur. So this is something that's been going on in his left knee for a long, long time. And for people like Hank Haney, who want to say that, you know, Tiger's injuries are of his own doing, due to working out too hard and doing his military-style training, and he used to go on training runs wearing combat boots. This is something that's been going on back before he was even on the tour. He was in college, 1994. He's been dealing with this stuff. That may have even been, I'll have to double-check Tiger's dates at Stanford. That may have even been pre-Stanford for Tiger. So let's not make too much of this being of his own doing, number one. And number two, apparently for Tiger fans, it won't be that bad because he apparently is going to be back in time to play in Japan in October. That's the quote from Tiger. "I'm walking now, hope to resume practice in the next few weeks. I look forward to traveling and playing in Japan in October." So there you go. There is your update. By the way, that is going to be an exhibition match. Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, Hideki Matsuyama, Tiger Woods October 21st. All right, so there you go. Now we're all up to speed. We're going to step aside. We are going to revisit a conversation I had with a gentleman out in Las Vegas here in just a little while. And we'll also get to those 18 public golf courses that Evan Rothman wrote about on golf.com in the travel section. See which one of these you've played, which one of them, which very few of them I've had a chance to play so far. And we'll get to all of it coming up here this morning on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
All right. That's what I just said. All right. Back here on the Sports Hub Golf Club, it's Hardy. Just got a text from my friend Lenny. Oh, yeah, that Lenny. Lenny Clark. He says, love your golf show. Can't wait to golf with you. Fan-effing-tastic. Lenny always sends me the nicest text. He says he doesn't know or care anything about golf, but he likes the golf show. And then Maz texts me also. He says, if it makes you feel any better, I got my lunch eaten yesterday, too. In fact, I got my dinner eaten yesterday, too. So maybe it was just something in the atmosphere yesterday. If you played golf yesterday and you got your ass kicked, you are not alone. By the way, my friend Tony, who I played with yesterday at Worcester Country Club, who is a very good player, also got his lunch handed to him by the golf course yesterday. So, yeah, it's going around. It's going around. But I, you know, as I was walking around Worcester, and again, this course is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, they hosted the Ryder Cup back in 27. I mean, this course has been around since 1900. It's a Donald Ross design. It's just, you know, classic Donald Ross New England golf in every single way. And I'm thinking to myself, man, not everybody has a chance to play this, but there are plenty of great public courses that I have not played around here. And I think we all do ourselves a disservice from time to time by not playing these courses that we can all go play. And some people do. You know, my cousins back in Michigan rarely play the same course twice, even in a year. I mean, these guys go to a different spot every week, to the point where it got a little annoying when I was playing with them sometimes, because, you know, they're always, well, where can we go next week? Where can we go next week? And oftentimes, I am perfectly content to go play where I just want to play. Like this weekend, I am very excited just to go play the Cape Club in Sharon because I haven't played it in a few weeks. And that's just, that's what I know. That's what I want to go do. I love that course. That's where I want to play. But other people are, a handful of people are very good about getting out and experiencing all these courses. Most of us, though, I would say, tend to stick to what we know. And we do ourselves a disservice because there are so many great public golf courses in and around New England. To where I started poking around yesterday, and I thought, and look, these lists are all subjective. It's obviously a qualitative analysis of a golf course, and you can't, you know, just stack it up and see which one is the longest or the windiest or the toughest slope rating. Everyone's got a different definition of best, but there are a few that make it onto a lot of different lists, and Evan Rothman's on golf.com. He's got a pretty good list here that I think a lot of people would agree with, and I'm going to add in a few of my own. He starts in Connecticut. I've only played one in Connecticut, which I believe is either private or semi-private, and that is Fox Hop Yard. More on them here in a minute. Fox Hop Yard I would rank as a top golf course, although I'm not sure of their playability status. Like I said, it may be private or semi-private. He lists Great River Golf Club in Milford, Lake of Isles, the North Course in North Stonington, which a lot of people will put up there. That's a Reese Jones. Wintonbury Hills GC in Bloomfield. Okay, haven't played any of those. Again, these are all public courses. You and I can go play these. In Maine, where I just was last week, wasn't a golf trip, so I don't feel that bad about. Belgrade Lakes, which All I know about Belgrade Lakes is that they filmed portions of on Golden Pond there. That's all I know. The Ledges, which I've heard about many times, and Sunday River. Again, I've been invited to play Sunday River and haven't gone yet. How dumb am I? Then it gets to Massachusetts. This is where I think I feel like a real jerk, because Pine Hills is listed as one of the as the best public golf course in Massachusetts. Okay. Pine Hills, the Nicholas course, the Jones course, they're both fantastic. If you haven't played Pine Hills in Plymouth, I've played them. I know what they are. It's the whole, you know, be a member for a day atmosphere. Go use the range, use their big practice facility, nice restaurants. It's great. Crump and Fox, which is partnered up in some way with Fox Hop Yard in Connecticut. Crump and Fox is supposed to be phenomenal. I've never played it. Same goes for Taconic in Williamstown. Taconic Golf Club. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. I have no idea. Never played it. It's a public course. You and I can go play there next week. I don't know why I haven't. Stupid. Lazy. Both. In New Hampshire, Breakfast Hill. I've never heard of this one. Hanover CC and Omni Mount Washington. Finally, he lists a few courses in Rhode Island, Meadowbrook, which I've heard of, Newport National, of course, and Triggs Memorial. And then in Vermont, you've got Jay Peak, Okemo Valley, and the golf club at Equinox. All fantastic courses that you can go play as a public golf course. I would add in to the best public courses in Massachusetts, at least around the Boston area, I think it's silly not to include Granite Links, just in terms of, you know, spitting distance from Boston. And call me a sap, call me a jerk, call me, you know, a homer, because it was my home course for years and years, George Wright Golf Course in Hyde Park. And if you haven't played George Wright in the last 10 years, 15 years, you have no idea what you're missing. George Wright is another Donald Ross right there in Hyde Park. And it hosted some very prestigious tournaments here just in the last year. And there have been so many improvements. And I wouldn't call them additions to the golf course. I would just say improvements, because they have not changed the layout, nor the style and the feel of the classic Donald Ross design that is George Wright and Hyde Park, but they've just made it better. And I'm overdue to go play George Wright, and I plan on doing it here very, very soon. But I would rank that among the best public golf courses in New England. There's others that didn't get mentioned that I think deserve mention in terms of the best courses, at least in Massachusetts. Redtail, another one that I haven't played in a long time, but that was always a phenomenal trip out to Redtail. People have spoken of any number of them. So I think what we should do is probably do a more comprehensive survey of everybody listening to the Sports Up Golf Club, and we'll come up with our own best of public course list for the state, and then we'll start expanding it out. We've got another month left of the Sports Up Golf Club, so look for it on Twitter and on the social media sites for 98.5 The Sports Up. We're going to get it together this week, and we're going to do our own list of what we think are the best public courses, courses that you and I can go play, starting in the Boston area, expanding out all around Massachusetts, and then we'll get to the surrounding states. I haven't even mentioned the courses down the Cape that you can go play. My God. I mean, Cape Club in Falmouth, you can go play public courses. You can go play the Captains out in Brewster. And it's hard to believe that they've got a municipal course in Brewster down the Cape that is not one but two 18-hole layouts that are just phenomenal. And they keep at least one 18-hole track combining the two courses open year-round. Most years you can go play that thing year-round. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do is what it boils down to. All right, we'll get some headlines here, come back, as I said, conversation that I had earlier this summer with a gentleman who was the director of golf at Wynn in Las Vegas. I know a lot of people are going to be planning their fall Las Vegas trips. Now you have another excuse to go out there to see the Bruins play when they take on the Knights. I'm not sure when that when they visit the Knights in this upcoming season. But, you know, pretty soon we're going to have another reason to go to Vegas if and when the stadium is ever finished out there and the Patriots have to play the Raiders on the road. And if you're going to play golf in Las Vegas, there's one place you should definitely think about, because you just have to step out your hotel room elevator and walk across the lobby to get to this particular course. We will speak with the director of that course coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club and back at a place that I didn't know if I was going to be able to visit again, but here I am visiting with Brian Hawthorne, who was the director of golf at Wynn Golf Course in Las Vegas. Now he is back as the executive director of golf at Wynn. Brian, it's good to see you again, my friend.
Thanks, Hardy. It's great to be here.
I have to say that I didn't know that we would be able to have this conversation again. You and I first spoke, I think it was about 5 years ago, and right before I went out and played Wynn, the golf course. And we had a great time and a great conversation. And then some really strange things happened over the next few years. Can you kind of give us a brief history of what's been going on since then?
Sure. You know, when the property was first built, it was never intended to be a long-term golf operation. And, you know, we were fortunate it was 12 and a half years. And in late 2017, it closed for you know, future development. And, you know, we had some changes around the corporation and a new CEO and a new vantage point, I guess, on the, you know, the use of this space. And we've brought it back as a golf course. So we do have an addition of a wonderful new convention space that's over 400,000 square feet. But it also is sitting where our 18th tee and 17th green were previously. So we were challenged with basically redesigning a golf course and sharing the space with our partners in the meetings and convention side of our business.
So when you decided to bring the golf course back, this isn't a simple question of, well, let's find a guy here in town who can help us reroute a couple of holes, because that's not the way things are done around here. So who did you work with in order to kind of redesign and reroute things?
Well, we were really fortunate. You know, Tom Fazio did the golf course originally back in 2003, which opened in 2005. And when Matt Maddox, our CEO, started to reevaluate this situation, we reached back out to the Fazio team, and Tom was thrilled at the idea of coming back and working on it. So we worked very closely with Tom Fazio on this and looked at every single hole and every single opportunity to create basically an entire new experience.
Well, I feel like I've buried the lead already, but with sitting here with Brian Hawthorne, who is the executive director of the golf course here at Wynn, it is safe to say the golf course is, in fact, coming back and relatively soon.
It is. We actively started taking reservations on July 13th for guests with a confirmed hotel reservation. They can book 90 days in advance, and we are reopening on Friday, October 11th.
That's it. That's the date we've all been waiting for. Friday, October 11th?
It's real, Hardy. It's real.
You sound a little nervous, like Friday, October 11th isn't that far off.
Not nervous. Just know that there's still a good amount of things to achieve between now and then. But, you know, we're on great pace. The golf course is in a grow-in phase now. Construction is completed. We're assembling staff. We're fine-tuning some of the amenities of the property. And I'd probably say it's not nervous. It's more excitement than anything else.
Well, let's take this in three steps then, three stages. You mentioned amenities. So if you're staying at Encore or Wynn, the first thing you need to know about this golf course is that it is literally a few steps away from your hotel room elevators.
It is. Yeah, that's certainly an advantage of having an on-property golf course, which we are the only ones in town that have that. Your commute is really determined by how many times the elevator stops. You're 275 paces from our Tower Suites elevator to the golf shop.
And I remember from playing here before, once you walk in, it's this beautiful lobby, and you've got people essentially just falling all over themselves
What do you need today, Mr. Poole? What's going on? Are you ready to go out? Do you want to go into the locker room first? Do you need anything for your round? So can we expect kind of like that same level of attention when you guys reopen?
Certainly. You know, as you probably are aware with our properties, you know, we've been fortunate to gather quite a few stars in our Forbes ratings, and we've truly got a 5-star standard across property, whether it's in our dining outlets or any of our other amenities, and we want to continue that to deploy that type of service when it gets to the golf operations. So we've got a incredibly skilled group of individuals that will be our caddy staff, whether it's our locker room attendants, our golf shop staff. It's a real theme of anticipating needs and just providing an amazing experience for our guests.
I remember last time I did bring my clubs, but somebody asked me, if you didn't bring your clubs, we have pretty decent clubs here that you can rent. What do you got? Some stuff from like Played Again Sports that you just kind of cobble together in the back room and throw on the back of a card if somebody didn't bring their clubs?
Yeah, I think you probably know better than that. we've got a wonderful relationship with Callaway Golf, and I'm going to correct your language there. You use the term rent, and we don't charge for it. We call them loaners because, once you pay our prevailing guest fee, you don't want to have an experience of added cost. So if you need clubs, it's just included. Based on history, nearly 40% of our guests used our clubs, whether it's a matter of convenience or, in all likelihood, what we have here for loaners are probably better than what they have in their own bag because it is the most recent offering from Callaway, and we switch it out annually.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, you mentioned caddies. People expect to pay a caddy fee even when you're riding in carts and you have a four caddy with you. When I played here, he was a former head professional, a very prestigious golf course here in town that was actually working here instead because of the environment and because of what you had to offer here. So caddy fees, is that part of the equation here?
No caddy fee. You're going to get a truly professional caddy experience. We assign one caddy per starting reservation. It is a golf cart program, so it's not a walk and carry, but these individuals are going to handle all the necessary evils of playing golf, fixing divots, repairing ball marks, but they're great at helping with strategy. They can be psychologists, social workers, stand-up comedians, a little bit of all those elements. We recognize that it's such an important role for these folks as employees here at our property. They spend more time with a guest when caddying on the golf course than really any other person across the whole property, whether it's a casino host or a dealer, a butler in our villas. The caddy has got the most touch time with the guest, and we recognize that, and we certainly take that into consideration with the type of people that we are looking for to fill these roles. And as you mentioned, there is going to be a likelihood of a significant number of them that are PGA professionals or past leadership members in hospitality environments.
I will give you some advice right now. When they give you a read on one of these greens, listen to them because they're never wrong. And I'll say this. You're absolutely right in terms of the experience with that guy that you're going to spend 4 or 5 hours with. And don't be put off by the fact that he's not going to be carrying your clubs. You don't want to walk when you play golf in Las Vegas anyway. Even if someone else is carrying your clubs. Look, 20 years ago when I lived here, walking 9 at the Angel Park Cloud 9, that's something different. But, walking an 18-hole facility, you don't want to do. You want to have a guy with you who's going to be with you and, hopping on the back of the carts or, trotting along the side. And take advantage of what he knows about the golf course, because these guys know as much as you do or the designer when it comes to going out there and actually playing the thing.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, it can be dramatic, the difference that the caddy brings to an experience, especially in the way that we deploy it here. It's probably a good 5-shot savings when you have someone helping you with its strategy, or as Hardy mentions, reading greens. Rule number one, listen to your caddy.
Right. Okay, so we've covered the amenities. I think it's safe to say it's going to be the same as it was before, only better, is what it sounds like. And if it's not, if I'm leaving something out, please let me know, Brian. But on to the golf, which was a really, really good golf course before. I got a chance to see just a couple of them when you and I walked outside. So far, just the redesign on number 1 and on 18, I can say, it's the same golf course, but it's better.
Yeah, fortunately, we went with a vision of truly, better than before. And while it was a great operation and a great layout, We had opportunity to make adjustments to things that we felt may have need had some room for improvement or opportunity. But, you know, with the addition of the new convention space, we were forced to kind of rethink some areas, too. And with doing that, right out of the gate, our first hole now faces north instead of east. It's a dogleg right instead of left. Four of the first five holes are totally different experiences. The fifth hole is a totally new golf hole. It did not exist before. As you get further into the layout, the holes more on the east side of the course, they're, while they're in similar corridors, every green complex was redesigned. Every tee box was redesigned. We grew the greens by, on average, 300 square feet per hole. We've got an entirely new strain of bent grass that we're using here called Dominator that is new to the market, and it's specifically designed for the unique microclimate of Southern Nevada. And, you know, we're really excited about its performance so far in the grow-in phase, and we just can't wait to get guests out on it.
All right. So Brian Hawthorne is the executive director of golf here at Wynn in Las Vegas. I got to talk to you about number 18 because you and I were just outside looking at it. You guys are doing something, dare I say bold, Brian, with the newly redesigned 18th hole here at Wynn. You tell them. I tell you what, man, I love it, but it takes some guts to do what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you know, it just felt right as we kept reworking the new design with Tom Fazio and his team. And, you know, to save any more delay, number 18 is just an incredible par 3. We have a 35-foot tall, 100-foot wide waterfall that frames the back of the green. We've got four different tee boxes in, ranging in distance from 140 yards all the way back to 250 yards. It really creates some incredible theater for that last swing on your round of golf on Las Vegas Boulevard with, you know, the 4,700-plus rooms from Wynn and Encore looking out over you. It's truly spectacular.
It's so Vegas to have just this. And you said it outside. It's so Vegas to have this amazing, like, can you imagine being all square in your match, standing on 18T? You're a good player. I'm not. But let's say I was. I'm playing with a couple of other guys, and we're all the way back. And with the match all square, you are faced on your final hole with a 250-yard tee shot on a par 3 with trouble down the left, the big waterfall behind you, everything on the line for that match on that final hole.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It would probably be an understatement, right? But, you know, but it's still very well thought out as well. While it's, you know, it is pretty spectacular in each one of those elements.
But it's not goofy golf.
No, it's not. And that's the point. And, you know, Tom put a lot of time and energy into this, and we really, you know, we redid and moved tee boxes and moved bunkers and changed the shape and contour of the green to make sure it matched with the rest of the layout. But it's spectacular. It really is.
Well, the final thing I want to touch on here is, you know, in the third phase is just like, I guess, the whole experience of being able to play golf on a golf course that is literally attached to the hotel, whether it's Wynn or Encore. I'm staying at Encore, and it's a 5-minute walk down here from, you know, from my room elevators. You guys are afforded the opportunity to make this part of the whole guest experience, and not just with the caddies and what you might think of the place afterward, but you can tie in a lot of what other people are doing. Like, at another golf course, they may not care when your dinner reservations are, but here you understand it, and you have the opportunity to kind of work with people when it comes to planning not just their 4 hours on the golf course, but their entire stay.
Yeah, and you know, it's an amazing team of people that make this hospitality machine happen day in and day out. And there's 13,000 of us here. So to your point, if you're on the golf course and whether the group got started late and there's an impending dinner reservation and the caddy gets wind of that, he's the first one to be able to make a quick phone call to whether it's that respective restaurant or to restaurant show reservations or to the concierge to help remedy what could have been problematic if you were somewhere else, or if it's, you know, overhearing that it's somebody's special occasion they're celebrating, and to be able to help coordinate that next experience for the guest and be able to do all this under the confines of the same property. It's unheard of, quite honestly.
Well, I'm kind of kicking myself for planning this trip a couple of months before you open, but looking on the bright side, now I have an excuse to come back in, say, 3 more months.
Well, you know, we'd love to have you back, and I think it's a foregone conclusion that you need to come back. So we would love to have you to come and experience, you know, the new and improved Wynn Golf Club. And again, just thrilled to be here. You know, it's a wonderful parcel of land that's been part of the golf landscape in Las Vegas since 1952. You know, it's a great golf story. It's a great Las Vegas story. And, you know, I'm just honored to be part of it.
Well, I'm honored to sit here and talk with you again. Brian Hawthorne, the executive director of Wynn Golf Club, opening once again in October. For anyone who asks me from here on out, oh, Hardy, you got a chance to see it before it opened. Is it like it was before? All I'm going to tell them is, well, from what I can see, it's better. It's better than before, which is tough to imagine that you could improve upon what you had here. But so far, that's what it looks like you're doing, Brian. So congratulations.
Yeah, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.